To God's Word today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are going to be looking at verses 16 through 22, but don't let that scare you because these verses are some of the shortest verses in the Bible. Are you okay with that? But they are action-packed, okay? Today, I titled this, and I struggled with the title, to be honest with you, but I will call it The Challenge of Christianity. Now, in my title, I'm saying Christianity can be challenging. It's a challenge to continually walk out our life with Jesus. Anybody find that a challenge? Can you be honest? I mean, really? It's a challenge. And so today, we're going to read some scriptures that will continue to challenge you and I to live for Jesus, but to do so with effectiveness. One of also the most perplexing questions for a Christian is this: what is God's will for my life? Anybody ever ask that? Well, in our scripture today that we're going to read, you're going to find the answer to that question. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22, we're going to find some standing orders for the church body. And in these verses, Paul shares some thoughts regarding basically the attitude of our mind. So let's go to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. I want you to read it with me today. Are you ready? Everybody together, verse 16. It's really long. Here we go. Rejoice always. Verse 17. Pray continually. Verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now read this next part real loud. Are you ready? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we again are just in love with your word. We want it to teach us. So God, I pray that our hearts would be trainable today. Our minds can be renewed and shaped according to biblical instruction. So, Lord, make us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, each of the thoughts that we just read in verses 16 to 18 are what English would call are in the imperative. Does anybody, imperative, anybody know what imperative is? How many remember your English class? All right, good for you. Well, here it is. Imperative means of vital importance, giving an authoritative command. It's imperative. It ought to take place. Church, these are commands given through the by the Holy Spirit through Paul to the church. Paul is addressing our mindset and our focus as a believer. Now, the first three commands, to be honest with you, are not difficult to understand, right? I mean, be joyful, pray, and give thanks. That's good. We know God wants us to be joyful. We know God wants us to pray. God wants us to be filled with thanksgiving. However, the English modifier of each directive is what makes these commands difficult or challenging. We are to be always joyful. How many are good at that? How about continually praying and thankful in what? All circumstances. So let's talk about the first one. Be joyful always. Everybody say that with me. Be always. In Philippians 4:4, you'll read it again where Paul says to rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And what does he say? I will say it again. Rejoice. Is there an exclamation point? You guys need to learn English again. Try that out with me. Read it with your full English understanding. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Now, before we can begin to really understand what maybe that means to us, I want to be clear about what it does not mean, okay? Paul is not telling us that we have to be happy all the time. You're like, really? Listen, happiness is unattainable because there's too many things in life that cause sorrow, that cause sadness, that bring grief into our life. I do not believe, though, God wants us to be a phony in the way we walk with Him. You understand that? He wants us to be real. And sometimes we just do not feel happy. Is anybody there? Well, y'all, I mean, maybe you're more joyful than I thought. But there are things that hit us. But here's what I want you to know. I want you to know joy is deeper than happiness. Joy is unrelated to the circumstances of life. And that's because joy is anchored to our relationship with God. Let me put it in this statement that comes up. Joy is an exhilaration from the Spirit of God that derives its deep-seated confidence in God's love, power, and His work in our lives. The deeper our roots extend into our relationship with God, the more joy you can know. The prerequisite for joy is a true and vital relationship through Jesus Christ with God Almighty. In other words, if you're putting confidence in your own abilities, if you think you can do it on your own, if faith is just an academic issue in your life, it's not this vital relationship you have, you will never find joy. So how can we experience this joy? Well, church, one thing you have to do is to be careful to not focus on the circumstances of life, or life will make you sick. What happens in life is that the circumstance gets the focus. Look what I'm going through. Look what happened to me. Look, and we get caught by the circumstance. And when that happens, joy can come up missing in your life. So what do we need to do? Instead of focusing on the circumstance, we must instead put our focus on something that is constant. And that constant has to be the nature, character, and promise of God. So let me give you some constants today we should focus on. Number one, God is perfect. Everybody say it. Yeah, listen to Psalm 18:30. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. Now that's a scripture you can focus on. Think about it. If you want to memorize a new scripture, that's the one I give you today. Psalm 18:30. Put it into your memorization. God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He's a shield for all who look to Him for protection. Church, if we can begin to have that as a constant in our life, you can find joy. Something else we can focus on, God's redemptive work. Listen again to Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith. Anybody been made right by God and by faith today? Yeah. I'm going to have a good altar call at the end because not a lot of you haven't. How many have put their faith in Jesus Christ and you have been made right with God? Yes. He says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we what? Confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That is a constant, church. What about focusing on God's provision? 2 Peter 1:3 says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Church, that's a constant. How about thinking about God's providence? He orchestrates everything in our life for good. Listen to his word, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Church, these are all constants that they never change. There's more out there. And we can have joy because of the constant. The constant is God. And when God becomes our constant, then we are living for the eternal and not the temporal. Sadly, good health, family, job satisfaction, personal achievements can unfortunately quickly become the focus of our life if we're not careful. But as believers, as those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we don't focus on the storm of the circumstances that can happen in life. Rather, we focus on the stable character of God and our Savior and our soon-coming King, and therefore we live rejoicing always. Church, be joyful always. Say it with me again. Be joyful always. Why? Because I have a constant that never changes. He is for me and not against me. Amen? Secondly, Paul says, pray continually. King James puts it this way, if you remember, pray without ceasing. Many want to dismiss, though, this command because it seems unattainable. I mean, how in the world can you pray continually? I don't believe Paul is saying that we need to be on our knees with our eyes closed in prayer. That is a type of praying, and we should do that. But what I believe Paul is saying, or he's encouraging the church, is that we should always be in constant communication with God. Church, we need to keep a running conversation with the Lord throughout the day. I know people wonder, what in the world am I going to talk to God about all day long? Well, listen, first of all, you've got to adjust your thinking in regard to prayer. For prayer is meant to be a conversation with the Lord where we are working to align our hearts and our minds with his. God, what are you doing? You know, Lord, what are you thinking for the next? Instead of what am I thinking, what is he thinking? What does he want? Now, there's times when we need to confess our sins. Amen? And there's other times where we give our appreciation to God. In fact, our worship is a part of prayer. Those are moments where we're expressing our love to God. We are communicating our love to God. But we need to learn to how to simply have this ongoing conversation with God. It's like this. God, I'm getting out of bed. I need you today. Is that where you start? That's where you need to start your day. I've mentioned this one before. God, I'm about to drive somewhere. Lord, which way do you want me to go? God, I'm about to choose a place to eat. Where should that be? What should I eat? Lord, how much should I eat? Are we having that ongoing conversation with God? And of course, there are decisions we make all day long. And we need the Holy Spirit to have an opportunity to speak to us in those decisions so that we can have his guidance and his direction in our lives. And we can do that if we have this ongoing conversation. We pray without ceasing. Always pray. Always be asking God, God, be a part of everything I'm doing. A part of your work, a part of your playing, a part of your serving, a part of your worship. Let it be a part of your life. And if I could put it this way, prayer is about learning to live in his presence. Wouldn't you just like God's presence to be with you all day long? Well, you invite him in with prayer. So first, Paul says, be joyful always. Second, pray continually. And third, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I feel like I need to qualify this one. Paul is not saying we should give thanks, listen to it carefully, for all circumstances. Obviously, we shouldn't be thankful for injustice or tragedy or disease or war. None of those things are good. However, we are to be grateful and thankful in all circumstances. This is an important distinction. Like joy, our thankfulness is anchored again to our relationship to Jesus Christ, rather than being anchored to the circumstances of life. Now, no matter what happens in life, let me give you some things that you can always be grateful for. Number one, we are forgiven and loved by God. I mean, if you have nothing else to give thanks for, start there. Also, you can be thankful that God is working in every circumstance. Even if you go back to the Old Testament, you've got Joseph, the coat of many colors. At the end of his life, he said, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. He had gone through accusation, he'd been in prison, and he did nothing to deserve any of that, but God was working in every circumstance. Number three, God will give us the strength we need. Number four, we will live even though we die. Church, are we, see, where is our thanksgiving flowing from? Just a moment or an idea of what God is doing in and through us? And number five, God will finish the work he started in our lives. If we could understand the implications of these truths, then we can learn to be grateful in every circumstance. Let me give you an example. You probably have seen it. Maybe even know somebody who's been there. But somebody gets interviewed because their home went through a disaster, a fire, a tornado. And in the midst of the devastation, they get interviewed and they will often say something like this: we lost everything, but we are thankful that no one was hurt. The car accident, you know what I'm talking about? But we're thankful. Church, that's being grateful even when you have terrible loss. It's having that right perspective. And so, church, we thank God in the good times and in the bad times. In fact, it's in the tough times of life that we recognize we need the strength of God. That's why we turn to the Lord. So do not forget to give thanks, because every day we have is a blessing from God. And it is a day for us to give thanks to the Lord. Amen? The point really is this: if we focus again on the circumstances of life, we will become grumblers. Anybody understand? But if we focus on the Lord, we'll become thankers. I know thankers is not a word. But I think all of us want to be thankers. Amen? People who give thanks. Of course, no one promised, listen, no one promised that life would be easy. In fact, listen to what Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33. He says, I've told you all of this, that so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, where do you live? Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And that's the perspective that leads to this continuous grateful heart. Jesus has overcome. And because of what Jesus has accomplished, that gives me hope. The next part of the scripture, it speaks to our lives and again continues to challenge us in how we live. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. He says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. In this passage, I've narrowed it to two simple principles. The first one I think we need to work at is this: remain teachable. The second one is strive for righteousness. Let me talk about the first one for a moment. Remain teachable. A command that Paul gives in the verse, he says, do not quench the Spirit. The word quench literally refers to putting out a fire. Paul is warning us to not allow the Spirit of God within us to be extinguished. In other words, this suggests that the Holy Spirit, whom God put in us, will naturally burn within the believer. God put His Holy Spirit in us, and His Holy Spirit will be with us unless we do something to put it out. So we need to let the Holy Spirit have His way in our life. That means we need to listen to the Word of God and obey it. And when the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin or whatever it might be, we need to be people who are repentant. Maybe at some point you've sensed the Holy Spirit calling you to missions or to give to missions. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has nudged you to get involved in ministry. Maybe He's calling you to be more faithful in your giving. Maybe He's prompting you to call a friend. Or maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, we need to mend this relationship. Church, if you ignore those promptings of the Holy Spirit, that is quenching the Spirit. If you do it too long, it will become more and more difficult to hear the voice of God. So, church, we have got to remain teachable so that we don't put the fire of the Spirit out in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, so let Him. And at times, God uses prophecy. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Again, we need to position ourselves to hear everything that God wants to speak to us. Now, too often, though, we think prophecy is a prediction of the future. But most of the time, the word is used in the Word of God, it means proclamation. Basically, Paul is telling the church, don't despise teaching and the proclamation of God's Word. Church, we've got to remain open to God's instruction. Listen, from whomever or wherever it comes from. Sometimes, believe it or not, God uses other people to speak into our lives. Why? He wants to get our attention. And if we hear that proclamation from God, we cannot dishonor that word, listen, because we don't care for the person it came from. We have to remember our goal is to conform into the image of Jesus Christ. And whenever God speaks to us, through whomever God speaks, we need to remain teachable so we can be changed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 21, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. This is our guide. We don't have to worry about the who said it, but we need to question, does it line up with God's word? Test it. Does it line up with what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life? Church, I would say this. We must remain teachable and open to God's instruction and direction, but we must also be discerning about what we hear and what we believe. In fact, Paul says, hold on to what is good. Listen, to test everything is not the same as resist everything. The word for test here is the same word that's used to test a diamond to see if it's genuine. It's like when a cashier is given a $100 bill and they may test it to see if it's counterfeit or if it's real. In the same way, we are to test what we hear to see if it's true. If it's true, then hold on to it. It's good. Listen, it's fairly simple. If someone tells you something that contradicts God's word, then they're wrong. Clear. But if it lines up with God's word, then just check your life to see if there's something you should be doing or something you need to stop doing. And in the midst of it, remain teachable. Amen? Paul gives us one last statement to let us know that we need to strive for righteousness. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, reject every kind of evil. Church, as believers, it's our job to root out sin in our life. Sin is missing the mark. Every time we miss the mark, we've got to say, wait a minute, I didn't hit the dead center. What do I need to do better? We need to live out our life with the same tenacity, think about this, as you would to eliminate poison from your food. How many would like to just eat poison? Well, the same is for your mind and your heart. Where am I going to reject every kind of evil and say, that is not allowed in my life? Eliminate anything that would try to invade your life. We must get rid of negative things that have to do with behavior and anything evil that would affect your attitude. Listen, evil will destroy your spiritual growth. So we've got to keep striving for righteousness. Amen? All right. Here's what I want you to know, church. You ready? I didn't put this on the screen, but I want you to say this with me first. Say, we can. Ready? We can be joyful always. We can. You get that? The instructions of God wouldn't be given to us if we couldn't. The question is, are you going to take the challenge? We can be joyful always. We can pray continually. We can give thanks in all circumstances. Excuse me. We can remain teachable. And we can strive for righteousness. But it really depends on your relationship with God. Let me put it this way. If we could adopt, I know this is going to be a long statement, but ready? If we could adopt an attitude of gratitude in every situation, then you would begin finding yourself giving thanks to God all the time, and your attitude and your outlook would be full of joy. But the question remains, are you teachable and are you striving for righteousness? Listen, living for Christ is a challenge, especially when you begin to apply these to your life. The scripture says, be joyful always. It's going to be your choice. That's the challenge. Pray continually. Start your conversation as soon as you walk out of here, because God's already speaking to you. Now you get an opportunity when you walk out saying, God, I'm going to get my car. Thank you for my car, God. Thank you. You know what? I really appreciate that. And Lord, thanks for the day you've given us. And Lord, thanks for the people who came. And Lord, thanks. And you just begin to start that conversation with God. And somewhere along the line, you'll be like, oh, God, I got this going on in my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? You see how that conversation can just continue? Work on it. Challenge yourself in it. And challenge yourself to give thanks in all circumstances. I can almost guarantee you some circumstance is going to happen between now and Christmas that you're going to go, pfft. It's not the blow up that matters. It's what you do in the moment to grab it and say, you know what? I'm going to give thanks. Because I know God is working it all for good. Sometimes I don't understand how or why. The challenge of remaining teachable. Church, we get so focused on the person sometimes when they're speaking to us rather than what they're really saying. I'm telling you, you need to start letting the Holy Spirit speak to you. Won't worry about anybody else and what they might or might not be saying. You just discern it. That's all you do. You understand? And then strive for righteousness. You know what? Flee even the appearance of evil, the Bible tells us. Church, we need to work to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit ablaze in our life, and not only keep it, you need to stoke that fire. You need to keep wood on it. Church, maintaining spiritual vitality is essential to your growth as a believer. And if we maintain that spiritual life, you'll have the strength you need in the times of trial, and you will find real joy as you journey with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? But maybe you've never started that relationship, and I want to give you that opportunity today. If you haven't invited Jesus to master your life, to be Lord of your life, to be your Savior, the Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth that He is Lord and believe in your heart that He died and rose again, the Bible says you'll be saved and you can start that relationship. I'm going to ask you today, if that's you, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray with you today. Is there anyone in the room, balcony, main floor, maybe online today, maybe you're there? So I'm just going to pray a simple prayer. I'm going to ask the church, would you just pray with me and reconfirm it today and say, Heavenly Father, I ask you today to be master of my life, to be my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Forgive me of my sins. Put your Holy Spirit within me and let me be teachable. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And if you pray that, listen, online or in here, I'm telling you, you are now walking with the Lord. But we've got to begin the challenge of Christianity. We can do it. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. I want you to have a Jesus-filled week because He's going to use you. He's got purpose for you. He has designed some wonderful things for this season. Just start that conversation and say, God, what is it? What's next? I can't wait for the adventure. Amen? Amen. God, go with us, strengthen us, help us to grow more vital in our relationship with you. We take the challenge today to be the Christ person you want us to be. Amen. Amen. God bless you.